Get started. Welcome, everybody, to Talking Tarot with TFL. I'm Steven, or Sweaky on the Internet, be your host. Today, we'll again be talking about the developments in the Tarot ecosystem, as well as a few products in particular. A note before we begin, I'm sure everyone has questions about the trial that's going on in New York at the moment, but we won't be discussing that today. I know everybody is curious, naturally, and wants more information, but everybody in this space right now doesn't know anything more than what we read on Twitter. So we don't have any special information we can give you. Instead, we're just going to focus on the things that we do know a lot about, which is the products we're building and the Tarot ecosystem. But rest assured that Chris and the Liga team are doing their best in the case. Follow it if you're interested. You'll hear all about it from others. So let's leave it at that. Thank you for your understanding. Great. So we have three guests today. First are Eduardo and Pedro Mauricio, both co-founders of Pulsar. And they're going to be talking about the latest big Pulsar update, as well as the future roadmap. What's going on, you two?
Good morning, guys. Great to be here. I'm Eduardo. Pedro, shall I do the graces?
Yeah, speak. Go ahead.
Yeah. So basically, we have a big update coming up on Pulsar. It's not yet announced, but it's already live on the website if you guys want to check it out, which is the Solana integration. As you guys know, Pulsar is a portfolio tracker, cross-chain portfolio tracker, tracking multiple different ecosystems. And up until now, there was always a big problem with Solana because of the way their chain is implemented. It's performant, but at the same time, it's a little bit more complex to perform queries on. Which Pedro can go a little bit more in depth, but we finally nailed a very good solution. For now we should be the portfolio tracker, even not focusing on Solana only, we should be the portfolio tracker with the biggest coverage, DeFi coverage on Solana, covering all tokens, all NFTs, and pretty much all DeFi that is going on over there. And yeah, obviously it's very exciting because it will bring us a lot more users, and it's something really, really big.
Amazing. Pedro Mauricio, do you want to go in a little bit of the technical kind of parts of this implementation for those who are interested?
Yeah, sure. So Solana, We tried initially because we're all about the speed of development, because you wanna ship fast, and being on the portfolio tracking business, you wanna be bigger and better than everyone else and have the most coverage. I think that's like our goal from the start. So we took a few shortcuts. In the end, it didn't really pay off. We tried to use the internal SDKs from the protocols themselves that they were using on their own front ends. But it ends up being that you there's so much code behind the SDKs that you do not control. They do certain things that you don't want to do. They don't really do optimized queries. And when you are a service that you fetch all the protocols at the same time, not only one, like any protocol page does, right? So if you go to enterprise, it's only fetching data from enterprise. And we are a service that we fetch everything from everywhere. So the scalability must be top-notch. So we ended up having to pretty much redo everything from kind of from scratch, mainly like the queries. So we had to like do internal development on our Pulsar service to actually be able to do queries very efficiently on Solana. And the biggest issue with Solana and why it's hard to do queries, I don't know if there's even like a query explorer for Solana, something like you can do on Cosmos, right? You put the, if you are a dev, you know, you can just query any function with an object on Cosmos or even EVM, it's very simple. But on Solana, I'm not sure that even exists. That's the complexity of Solana itself. So you can think of Solana node is like a big state node that has all the data loaded on memory at once. And the way to query stuff is knowing the position in memory of where things are. And makes everything a bit more complex. Obviously, Solana, it works internally this way because, well, they want to be the fastest and the most efficient blockchain. But in terms of dev development, I'm not sure it's the best. I think it's a bit, at least from outsiders, not really sure about building smart contracts, but at least fetching the data, it's like miles away from Cosmos, for example, or even EVM. EVM, it's not that great, but it's not bad either. Solana is like the worst. Even so, yeah, we made it happen. I think right now it's live. It's still not perfect. But it's usable. You don't really have like positions sometimes not fetching anymore, so it should be working every time you open Pulsar, and it only gets better from here.
Very cool. No, I think something to point out is you know, this is talking Terra, but we're talking about Solana, which would be weird, and except for Terra wants to connect all the most important ecosystems. Like, we want the big apps, the big, you know, developers in Terra to connect to all these really important ecosystems, of which Solana is one of them, because we all play across many different ecosystems. So having, you know, a team like Pulsar that's working on doing that from the like portfolio tracking and data side is really, really powerful. This unlocks a lot of you know, a lot of technology, a lot of options for protocols building on Terra. Not the least that it's also just really cool. I think next to my email, Pulsar is the thing I probably check the most every day. So it's really cool to have more support for more things, and to know that the technology behind, you know, the Solana integration has been, you know, built from the you know, first principles, so that it will be really, really, really solid, really dependable. So I think that's really cool, and you know, kudos to the Pulsar team for putting so much work into this.
Yeah, and one of our pillars, our visions is like cross chain by default. Obviously, this will start with Pulsar, as we, being a portfolio tracker, the integrations are a little bit less in depth. But like in the future, hopefully this will translate to the rest of our products, right? Like we can see a future where the session wallet grows cross-chain and even across over the Cosmos ecosystem, and tackling even like the EVM, Solana, possibly other products too. But yeah, that's definitely our vision, going cross-chain by default and like capturing users from all of the other blockchains, capturing also part of the TVL, part of the capital from other chains into Terra, which is amazing.
Yeah, no, that's really well. That's really well said. It's super important, and this is something that Terra's always been focused on. You know, going out to the widest parts of the market, the most people, making it accessible, so that you know it's both easy to use and possible to use. So this is kind of a part of that. It also just makes Pulsar dashboard like it's even better than it was before. So really cool upgrade. Do you guys want to talk about what's coming in the roadmap for Pulsar?
So I'm
not sure if we can talk about that, Pedro.
No, we can. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. So we have upcoming chain. It's gonna be live soon, probably next week. It starts with an S as well as Solana, as three letters. Has been going trendy for the last month. I think most people know what I'm talking about. There's also Blast, the new EVM, which has been popping off. We're already working on it. So those are the two main chains that will come, mainly like on April, right in April. And we're working as well, which I'm not sure how it's going to take, but I don't think it's going to take more than a month. We're working on a login feature where you can just save all your wallets and settings and go smoothly across like any device. So we always try to pretty much not save anything like so backend wise we don't have anything stored on the user data. So we just fetch wallets, we fetch data, and we retrieve them. But that ended up with a big issue of UX that a lot of users have all the time. And we tried to provide tools to help with this where you can, for example, export your portfolio. Or you can also export with a URL, you can export with a QR code. But a lot of people are using this to go into another device and have all their settings and wallets imported right away. But we have an issue that, links expire after a month because we don't want to store that data because it's just user temporary data. We're just facilitating like the transportation of your local data to another device, essentially. And also as a new other nuance is that if you, for example, you have an Apple, you have an iPhone, and you save Pulsar as an app on your phone, and ends up that you don't have the URL link up there. And since iPhone as well doesn't, they don't import all your local settings from the Safari, you end up with an empty session and you have no wallets, you have nothing, and you have no way to import. And so UX-wise, this is bringing a lot of issues that people, for example, they lose their session, now they have to import everything. And we built just a very simple backend. All this to say that we built a very outside API and backend just to store user local data, all their wallets, all their settings, all their portfolios, where you can pretty much log in, whether it's with a wallet station or your Google account. And that's going to be we're going to do the seamless one-click login import of your stuff. And this will make sure that you also have synchronous you're going to have all your devices synced, right? So you open your desktop, you add the wallet, you create a new portfolio. When you open again on your phone, since you are logged in with the same account, we're just going to import all those settings and like automatically sync up everything. And I think this will make the experience using Pulsar as a user across devices like insane. You don't need to use this. But if you do want to have like synced up devices, I think this will add a massive benefit to our users.
Yeah, that's a good point to emphasize that this is, you know, y'all are making this a optional feature. So people that don't want to do that absolutely do not have to, but that it's a option available if people want to, right?
Yeah, of course. So it's really like if you want to facilitate all this process and you want to have all your device synced up without having to ever do manual work again or be scared to lose your session because somehow you reset your browser and you forgot to like save the settings or something. So we want the UX on that front to be really nailed, but like it's optional feature. You don't need to use it if you don't want to use it. So we're just bringing the joy of having this nice UX and have everything in memory where you don't have to worry about manually storing all your data on a notepad because, you know, you might change device or you might clean up all the cookies on the browser and then everything is lost. So, and that's painful. I've been there.
Yeah, I think we've all been there. So that's very good. Great. By the way, if anybody has any questions, you know, questions for Edward and Pedro Mauricio about Pulsar or just questions in general, you know, feel free to drop them in the chat. I've seen there's been a few on Station. There are some Station updates planned that might come next week. They're not the one that are being asked about in the chat, however. So that will come as soon as we're able. Y'all will have more information as soon as we have it, but that is not yet. Either way, why don't we move on to our second topic and our third guest for the day. We have Vlad, who leads development on Enterprise Protocol with some exciting new developments for Enterprise.
But by the way, guys, just before we move on from the Pulsar topic, I just wanted to say that we're like going to be making like an epic announcement in the next few days regarding Solana. And if you guys could just spread the word, help us reach more of the community, that would be amazing. We would be forever grateful because the more people that start to use Pulsar on the Solana ecosystem, the better it will be for Terra, the better it will be for us. So I just wanted to point that out and thank you so much.
Yeah, please do. All right, Vlad, you're up.
How's it going?
Hey, it's going well.
Cool. So a few updates regarding Enterprise. As you guys know, we've had the one-click NFT staking. Huge credit to ARK for the work that they did on that. Essentially, with the work of ARK, we're now able to transfer NFTs across different chains, which was previously something that you couldn't do. It was just impossible because the way NFTs are constructed is it's essentially a spreadsheet of tokens and owners within a smart contract. And so until you develop a standard of how that gets transferred over to different chains, they're kind of just stuck on one chain. And so you'd notice that Terra NFTs are stuck on Terra, Stargaze NFTs are stuck on Stargaze, and they don't really move around much. And now what ARK did is they developed a standard to very similar to IBC token transfers with, you know, your CW20s and your regular, you know, token factory tokens. Similar to that, they created a standard that allows you to send over the NFTs to a different chain. And so as you guys know, the way Enterprise is built is to, you know, increase the amount of value capture on Terra without sacrificing UX and without sacrificing the ease of use of our platform. And so the way we do this is by having the governance hub stationed on Terra, where, you know, the bulk of the transactions happen on Terra. But we also allow, you know, DAOs to create different treasuries on different chains so that if they need to get things done, they can do that on whatever chain. And now what we also do is we regardless of us being on Terra, we support that native experience that you would see on, you know, any dApp as if you're using that chain. And so one-click staking allows users to come with their NFTs from whatever chain they're on and use their NFTs. And so the way Enterprise is built is that you're able to use Enterprise as if it's stationed on Stargaze, as if it's, you know, stationed on Juno at the moment, and whatever chain that ARK goes on for NFT DAOs. And so at the moment, what ARK is working on is spreading the standard across the different chains. And so whatever chain that ARK starts supporting, Enterprise will support by default. And so we can see things like, you know, Osmosis in the future, Injective, and essentially anywhere where there are NFTs and where there is an NFT community, ARK will be there and Enterprise will be there too.
Yeah, this is really big news. I thought I would interject real quick to tease a little thing. You know, this opens up the possibility for NFT collections that are based on Stargaze and Juno right now to join those that are based on Terra and using Enterprise DAO. And there actually is one Stargaze-based NFT collection that should be opening up an Enterprise DAO in the near future. So definitely look out for that. It's a really cool collection. We're really, really happy to have them. If anybody listening, you know, is with a NFT collection that's based on Stargaze or Juno and are interested in Enterprise DAO, feel free to DM me, message me on Telegram, or join the Enterprise Telegram and just like let us know that you're interested. We'll talk about any questions you got, anything like that. We'll help you with that because we definitely want more trying out Enterprise and getting to use its powerful tools. Vlad, I know there's some other stuff going on as well.
Yeah. So one of the cool things that that we're able to do with a software like Enterprise is we get to allow DAOs to kind of surface to the top of our DAO exploration mechanisms. And so we've been brainstorming, like, if there's a new DAO or if there's, you know, some DAO that wants more exposure, how do we incentivize DAOs to get that exposure? How do we put DAOs to the top of, you know, the explore pages and get them discoverable by new people? One of the ways that we've decided to do this is by, you know, participation-based rewards. This allows DAOs to set, instead of rewarding everybody proportionately within your DAO, like all of your stakers, we thought that it would be useful for DAOs to select to distribute rewards to those that are participating the most. And so this incentivizes users to participate within the DAOs through voting, through creating proposals, and through various activities of the DAO. And this allows them to get rewarded such that, you know, those that aren't participating don't get rewarded or don't get rewarded as much. And so this is important because a huge problem with governance as it stands right now is that there's a bunch of voter apathy. Like, if there is not something that is directly benefiting someone, they're likely not going to take, you know, the time of day to actually participate to submit that vote And DAOs kind of just end up, you know, slowly dying in engagement unless they do something themselves to promote this. And so at Enterprise, we're kind of thinking about how do we make DAOs active? And how do we make them more exciting and fun to participate in? And so we've been developing mechanisms, and of course, the first of which is the participation-based rewards. So you're no longer going to have to, you know, spread rewards to your inactive users. You know, this is just another mechanism to push those users to be more active if they want those rewards. And so you know that every time you distribute your rewards, they're going to be very efficiently distributed, and everybody who gets those, you know, actually deserves them. Of course, you can still, you know, do those larger airdrops, but I think, you know, providing the option for DAOs is going to be super useful. And hopefully we should see an uptick in the participation, you know, to get more votes into the systems.
That's as a member of multiple enterprise DAOs, love that idea. Probably going to need to have to pay a little bit more attention to a couple of them, but I'm should have been doing that anyway. Question for you, Vlad: what kind of options are you looking at for that the DAOs will be able to set? Like, is it, you know, like how does it work? I guess is like if you do the last five, the last 10, or if you do an X number of the last, you know, whatever. Like, how's it gonna? What are the options gonna be?
So right now, we have a fairly simple mechanism that when you have a DAO, you select the number of proposals that you kind of want to analyze and go back on. So if the number here is five, then we're going to take a look at the activity of the last five proposals and determine a weight for the users that voted. And so it's depending on how many of those five you voted on and your weight that you have staked, we use a combination of those things to calculate a new weight. And then we disregard everybody who didn't participate in those, say, last five proposals. If you only voted on four of the last five, we'd take your weight and obviously it would be lower than someone who with the same stake weight as you, but participated in all five DAOs. We're going to keep it simple for now, kind of roll this out, see how DAOs like it. And if there's any tweaks that we want to make to the mechanics, we can easily do that with the feedback of the community. But right now, essentially, it calculates a weight based on your stake weight, based, of course, on the minimum staking requirement, which is something that DAOs like Backbone are using. And it takes the amount of proposals that you voted on within the last, you know, X proposals, and X can be something selected by the DAO.
Okay, that makes total sense. Yeah, keeping it simple to start is a good way to do it. Reminder to everybody also that there is a feedback button in the DAO.enterprise.money app. It's also at the URL feedback. What is it? Feedback.enterprise.money. I had to double check. So if you are using any of these new features and are like, hey, this is really cool, feel free to give feedback there. If there's a, you know, idea you have, you know, this would be great, but add this, that is the perfect place to go and put that feedback. The enterprise team looks at all of that. That's what they're using to prioritize for bugs as well. That's another thing. Definitely use that for bugs. That had a question from Skits on the transaction fees for enterprise. I assume this is for enterprise. You and I haven't talked about that in a while. Is there any you know, plans or optimizations, or are you focused on the functionality, or what's going on there?
So transaction fees are more of a Terra chain thing. Like if we want to lower the fees, it's going to have to be done on the chain level. There's not much we can do on enterprise. Enterprise actually doesn't take any fees on top of the transaction fees that the Terra chain takes. And so if we want to see a change in the gas mechanics, in the cost of gas, that's going to have to be something that gets brought up with a governance proposal. Not much control that we have over that on Enterprise. I know that when Station Mobile comes out, the second version of that, the fees are going to be radically reduced on mobile. But fees overall, like on desktop, if you're doing things on desktop, I can't see much of a change in terms of like what we can do. So if you notice that it's like, you know, 0.003 Luna per vote, it's still going to remain like that unless something changes with the core Terra blockchain.
Okay, but I have to call you on one thing. There is one thing that I think will help with transaction fees. In that, you know, maybe DAOs will be voting on proposals a little differently. Good layup there. You want to take it for the other thing that's coming?
Yeah. So we have a new feature coming out sometime next week. This is the one you're talking about, right?
Yeah, this is the one.
All right. This is a quite long-awaited feature. We call it the Proposal Builder. Basically, right now, the way proposals work is you have a list of things you can do. You select one of those things, and then you create a proposal around it. For instance, if you want to send someone some tokens, you would create a send proposal. If you want to send, if you want to like distribute rewards, this is going to be coming out as well, you would select the distribute rewards from Treasury. And so if you want to do something else, you select that one thing, and then you have to create a proposal around it. We're revamping this whole mechanism into a proposal builder that allows you to do multiple things at once in a very custom manner. So if you want to send someone some tokens, you want to distribute, and you want to you know, change some governance parameters while you're at it, you can do all those things within one proposal in any order that you want. And so that would all be done via Proposal Builder. And basically, this solves the problem of having to set up, you know, multiple votes just to accomplish a single common goal. Huge issue with some DAOs was for every treasury that you wanted to spawn up, you had to have a completely separate proposal. So if you didn't create your DAOs with all, you know, five or six treasuries, you'd have to have five or six proposals to generate those. And so that is going to be no more. You're just going to be able to put all those transactions, all those actions into one proposal and then execute all of those things at once. So it's going to allow you to do more things with less proposals and less voting.
Yeah, I'm super pumped about this one personally. I mean, there's several pretty big DAOs on the platform that, like as you said, don't have all of the cross-chain treasuries yet because they made the DAO before they were all there. And if you're not planning to use them, do you really want to go through and add each individual one? Or if you don't have current plans, well, now those DAOs will be able to do that, you know, add four, five, however many they don't already have all in one transaction. That'll be really good for also making votes more like cohesive, because you know what you're voting on is not necessarily, like a lot of them would be like, oh, this is step one of doing this. Now you just put all the steps in one thing and say, this is going to result in this end state, vote on it. And that'll mean, you know, I was saying about the transaction fees. If you can do in, you can do in one proposal what used to take three, that'll help that a little that way. But mostly it's just better UX. It'll be really nice for everybody. And we know it's been a pain point. So super pumped about this. Really good addition.
Yeah. And so that's a super, super exciting feature. It's been something requested. and indirectly requested a lot. Like, we've been asked to help people come up with custom WASM proposals to do multiple things at once. That's no longer going to need to be the case. And, you know, adding new types of actions into the proposal builder is going to be super easy. So if we notice that DAOs are doing, you know, some custom thing and a bunch of DAOs are doing that same thing, we can migrate that over from a WASM message into something that gets added to the library, to the actions library. And so we'll keep monitoring that. You know, we have a bunch of DAOs here as in the audience. If you guys have any functionality that you do quite often and you want to see it in the proposal action library, just hit us up. We'll add that in. And then you'll be able to use that going forward.
Yeah, and this will work for adding like custom ones right into the builder as well, like multiple custom ones, right?
Right, exactly.
That's very cool. Yes. Once again, feedback.enterprise.money, great place to go to make suggestions for things that need to be into the proposal builder. It also can join the Telegram, join the Discord. Also good places to mention that, but definitely anything is least likely to get lost at the feedback site.
Yeah. And so speaking of feedback, there's two features that we're working on directly out of that list. They are at the, you know, number one in upvotes on feedback, and then number three. Number two, we're working on as well, but it's less of a feature and more of a fix. So let's talk about the third most popular one for now. It's got a few upvotes. We're working on a membership details page. So a lot of DAOs have come up to us and they wanted to kind of make it easy to analyze who their top holders were within the DAO, who had the most votes. And that way you're going to be able to analyze, you know, what their behavior is like, you know, what they're voting on, and perhaps you can make decisions based on that. Maybe you want to collect these lists for airdrops, or maybe you just want to do some analytics or just look at it. Either way, we're going to have a members list for every single DAO. It's going to look fairly similar to what we have for multi-sigs right now. And so you'll be able to see the address. You'll be able to see the total voting power that particular address has. And that's all going to be in a list. So you can take a look at everybody who's participating in your DAO. That is for that. Next up, we have the number one most requested thing. And it's been requested for a while now, but it's finally officially on feedback.enterprise.money. And that is sub-DAO creation. We're in the early stages of designing and developing the system, which is going to allow DAOs to have, you know, one or many sub-DAOs. And the problem that this solves is that sometimes you have, you know, smaller groups within DAOs that can make decisions quicker, and that might need to make decisions quicker with the capital that the DAO has. Pixel Lions had an issue where they would like completely miss out on mints because they would qualify, but the minting period was actually shorter than the voting period, and so they were not able to actually mint. This is going to solve problems like that, where you need a smaller group that can make quicker decisions over a smaller portion of the DAO treasury. And so sub-DAOs are something that we're working on right now, and we're going to be super excited to talk about that more as it gets further into development.
Yeah, that's a good feature. I know it's something that's been asked for a while, and there's a lot of ways people have been kind of working around without that. You know, often it'll be just a separate DAO that is explicitly linked to the first one, but I think this will make it nice to enshrine that within the system, especially as new people get in on the system. Like, everybody here, or most people here probably, know that like LionDAO and Pixel Lions are related, but somebody coming in might not. And then if they've got, you know, some some sub things that they're doing, you know, within LionDAO. I know GMC does this a lot as well, like little like different hot wallets or operational wallets, things like that. Everybody will be able to do that under one DAO now, which will just make it a lot more cohesive, just a more powerful platform. So I'm really excited to see how people use this whenever it comes out.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about that. If we allowed kind of DAOs existing right now, they're kind of related to each other. If we allowed some of those DAOs to opt to become sub DAOs of another DAO, like you said, PixelLions is related to LionDAO. If PixelLions was able to opt in to become a sub DAO of LionDAO, is that something that, you know, they would actually do? Is that something that these communities would be interested in? Something that I'm kind of curious to hear from the community.
Yeah, well, and a question to that, actually, and maybe you don't have the answer to this yet. Will the, because like they, PixelLions and LionDAO stake different things. Will members of the overall DAO, like, do you join the overall DAO? Can you have different staking for a sub DAO? Different, you know, governance token, or do you not know yet? Like, is that still TBD?
Yeah, so a sub DAO can be any type of DAO. It can be, you know, a token, either the same one or a different one. It can be a multisig or it can be an NFT DAO. And all it is, in like a technical sense, is a relation between two DAOs. Where the upper DAO can control the lower DAO without going through that lower DAO's proposals via like kind of a major proposal on the main DAO. And so the lower or the sub DAO can be of any type, but it can also be controlled by the main DAO.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
And so this would be super useful for like larger organizations with like a lot of different treasuries that they want to manage, and they want to have like different accounting practices for, you know, different treasuries. They would kind of split it up like this. There would be sub DAOs and maybe subcommittees working for a single DAO. But ultimately, if there's a vote that happens on the main DAO, it would be able to control each sub DAO as well.
Yeah, I could see this being really useful for things like pursuing certain DeFi strategies. Maybe, you know, a sub DAO is tasked with either doing that on a certain chain or in a certain way. Like, that could be a really cool use of this.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a bunch of things you can do. And so curious to see if any DAOs would actually opt to become a sub DAO of another DAO if they are individual and separate. As of now.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, as you said, join the this is a good thing to join the Telegram or something and talk about that. Of course, if any DAO listening is like, yes, I would, or absolutely not, then feel free to comment. But no, I think that's really cool. Yeah, building things too, making content, like those are other reasons. Like, you could go in and have a DAO that's explicitly like, you know, these people make content for the DAO, and that's either, you know, has a treasury either to fund creating the content or to pay them for their time creating the content. However, that's done, pay other people. That could be really cool too. I think this just gives a lot more options for DAOs to, you know, to do more, which is really neat.
Absolutely.
Amazing. I mean, that was a ton of stuff. A lot of really cool things going for enterprise. If anybody has any questions, feel free to drop those in the chat. Otherwise, anything else on that, or should we just open up the floor for whatever topic people want to bring up or discuss? Okay, I'm going through the comments right now. Don't think too many of them have either been already addressed or not something we're addressing. All right, yeah. So looks pretty good. Yeah, if anybody has any questions at any point, like I said, drop those or we'll get to those. But For now, I just want to thank everybody for coming. Thank everybody for being part of the Terra ecosystem. Like, you know, everybody's still pushing ahead with development of all their projects as hard as ever. Like, this community is amazingly resilient, amazingly hardworking, a lot of fun too. It's really, really cool crowd to be hanging out with. So I want to give kudos to everybody who's continued to do that, continue to grind, continue to build. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff that's coming. We've discussed some of it today. There's a lot that we haven't really mentioned. I alluded to some station updates that'll be coming shortly. That's really neat. I happen to know about some other ones that are coming down the pike as well. You know, TFM, big ecosystem partner, just released some big news. Hit up their Twitter if you want to know what I'm talking about, if you don't already. Astroport's been making big moves. They've been doing really cool things. I mean, I could go down the list. There's a lot of really, really cool stuff happening, more than we could talk about. So I just want to say, like, hey, keep exploring the ecosystem. Keep everybody, keep building. It's really cool to be here and to be doing this with all of y'all.
Thank you, Steven.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, then we'll call it a little bit early today. Let's keep doing it. Thanks for coming. We'll be back in a couple weeks with another of these.
Cheers. Pleasure to be with you guys. Have a good day. Bye bye.
Cool. I'll see you guys.
There's this principle in Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code. And now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you beating out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yambato and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like, these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Is it really worth all the fighting? Is it really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
We started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out, teaching all these plebiscites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits, all you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, this shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we'd call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile over here rewiring features, more critical thinking, less knee-jerk, more evolution, less shit coin preachers pretending to be teachers. Y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rat fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say, like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by, like, fighting this to the bitter end. And sometimes it's better to just, like, move on.
Terra Spaces.